Well, good morning. Isn't it a beautiful, gorgeous morning? When we left the house at about 8:30, I kind of went, can we just go for a walk real quick? But anyway, duty calls, right? And we're here to worship God, and it's so great to have you join with us in person, and it's great to have those who are joining with us online this morning as well. And we're going to be starting. You can see the festive season has begun, and I commented to someone earlier, I feel like I've been in the festive season since June, since the first email regarding Christmas came from head office. But you know what? We're here this morning to focus in on the peace of God. We're here this morning to focus on his promises, and we're here to focus on the fact that we can re-gift Christmas to others as we embark upon this sermon series called Christmas Regifted. And you guys are going to help us do that today. And we're going to do that by first singing a beautiful old hymn of the church. I love to hear the story which angels' voices tell, how once the King of Glory came down on earth to dwell. Let's stand, and the band is going to lead us in all three verses there, please, Norm.
Love to hear the story.
You may hope is here, and his name is Jesus. And the line that particularly spoke to me this morning is that he pursues us no matter what. He pursues us. He's chasing after us to make sure that we are all doing his will and living the way that he wants us to live. The scriptures this morning say, here's a word you can take to heart and depend on. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. I'm proof, public sinner number one, of someone who could never have made it apart from, and now he shows me off evidence of his endless patience to those who are right on the edge of trusting him forever. Deep honor and bright glory to the King of all time. One God, immortal, invisible, ever and always, oh yes.
Hallelujah.
And that is what the scriptures for us today, just to remind us that one God, immortal, invisible, ever and always, oh yes. Doesn't that just make your heart want to leap for joy as we continue to worship him this morning?
O'er the skies of Bethlehem appeared a star, while angels sang to lowly shepherds. Three wise men seeking truth traveled from afar, hoping to find the child from heaven. Falling on their knees, they bowed before the humble Prince of Peace. I bring an offering of worship to my King. No one on earth deserves the praises that I see. Jesus, may you receive the honor that you're due. Oh Lord, I bring an offering to you. Oh Lord, I bring an offering to you. The sun cannot compare to the glory of your love. There is no shadow presence. No mortal man would dare to stand before your throne, before the Holy One of Heaven. It's only by your blood, and it's only through your mercy, Lord, I come. I bring an offering to my King. No one on earth deserves the praises that I sing. Jesus, may you receive the honor that you're due. Oh Lord, I bring an offering to you. Oh Lord, I bring an offering.
For he alone is worthy.
all the praises. We'll give him all the praises. We'll give him all the praises. We'll give him all the praises. Christ the Lord. Oh, come, let us adore. Pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your presence in this place. We sense your presence already, Heavenly Father. We're here just to do as the song says, coming and adoring you. And as we come before you and as we adore you and as we worship you, we ask, dear Lord, that you would fill our hearts with your presence and your peace in this place today. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would strengthen us to go forward into the marketplaces of the world, to shed your light, to shed your presence. For you sometimes, dear Lord, place on us your presence to be the light in the world. Sometimes, Heavenly Father, we realize that we are the only Jesus that the marketplaces of the world ever see. And so this morning we pray, Heavenly Father, that you will so infill us with your presence and your Holy Spirit that others will know and come to know you as their personal Savior. We pray this in and through your most holy and most precious name. And all God's children said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Since the early days of the church, many believers have celebrated Advent and Christmas as two separate seasons. The first season is for preparing and expecting. At Advent, we look forward to not one, but two arrivals. First, we anticipate and long for the birth of Jesus, just as the Jewish people longed for the promised coming of the Messiah, the king who would rescue them and return glory to Israel. Christmas, the end of the Advent season, is a celebration of that promise kept. The Messiah came, the Son of God sent first as a sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sin. But we wait still for him to come again, to return and make all things right, to take his place on the throne forever. At Advent, we prepare ourselves for that second arrival as well, with repentant hearts and joyful confidence that our God always keeps his promises. Come, our long-expected Savior.
Well, this Christmas season, we're talking about Christmas being regifted. And I want you to think about, maybe at this time, a favorite decoration that you might have had. Has anybody decorated their tree yet? Don't tell me I'm the only one. You have? Perfect. Think about a favorite decoration. Now, I know we got to go back a whole year to think about that favorite decoration. But think about it. What is one of your favorite decorations? Something that maybe a child, your child might have made for you? Something that represents a milestone in your life? Something, I can take this off, can't I, while I'm speaking? Something that represents a milestone in your life? We were able to decorate. Anybody got any favorite ones? You can shout them out. I'll just repeat them after you. Nobody.
Koala bear?
A koala bear. We have koalas. They're not bears, they're koalas.
They're koalas.
Koalas on our tree. And they were bought between 1996 and 2000. And they clip onto our tree as a memory of our time in Australia. We also have a half-painted wagon that's about this long that Daniel never ever finished, but it's on the tree. We all have favorites, don't we, that spark memories of special moments in our lives when we are decorating the tree. Maybe someone gave us an ornament who's no longer with us, and we remember them. One of the things that we've had our tree up all week, but we were waiting for Hannah to come, because as soon as we said we had our tree up, Hannah told us, or said to us, well, I get to decorate it with you, Nanny. I said, yes, you do. So she came down on Friday afternoon and stayed overnight, and we decorated the tree. Now, there's all kinds of decorations on that tree, and as she took them out, because she's been used to doing it for seven years, she remembered from the year before that that was her special ornament, that was the year she was in ballet, that was the year she was in, that we dressed up and had our picture taken with Ken having the Grinch hat on. Sorry, dear. And having the Grinch hat on and the Santa hats in front of the tree. And so she remembered that. Now, I have to tell you a story, and we're going to talk about decorating this tree, and you guys are going to help us decorate this Christmas tree this morning. We're going to keep our social distancing, and there'll be about 10 or 12 different ornaments that you can place on the tree, and the music is going to be playing. But I want to tell you a story before we do that, and what the purpose of that is besides fellowship, is that when we were putting up our tree by ourselves earlier in the week, we needed to use some sort of Gorilla Glue or Goo Gong or metal something or other.
Metal putty.
Metal putty to keep the top part of the tree from being two pieces to one.
It broke.
Anybody ever done that? Or duct tape the tree to keep it together till the next year? Because the prices of new trees are just out of this world this year. And so anyway, we did that, and Hannah and I were decorating the tree, and then we're trying to put the angel on top. And the angel's been in our family for, the angel's been through the war, let's just say that. And we were trying to put the angel on top, so Ken said, Hannah didn't want to be lifted up. And so I said to Ken, well, maybe stand on the sofa that's there and just kind of reach in over and try to get that angel on the top. And he kept doing it. I got it on video, by the way. He kept doing it, and he kept doing it, and he kept doing it. And all of a sudden, crack. We forgot that the top part of the tree was metaled together. And it came down like this. The tree was like this. And so then we proceeded to save Christmas, basically, and to save the decorations. Because, you see, we had put the broken one, the glass ones that could be broken by the kids, and especially by little Isabella, who is into everything, on the top. And so we wanted to save these special decorations, because they were part of our memories. And by the way, just to finish the story, the treetop is now sitting on top of the tree, the same as it was last Christmas. So we'll deal with that another year, right? But you know what? It's the decorations. It's the special memories. It's the special memories. It's what they represent, and more importantly, it's who they represent in our lives. They represent our family. They represent our friends that we've made over the years if they've given us a decoration. You know, the other thing that some families have done is that a child gets that special decoration every year for something that I've been looking for, a kayak one. And I'm not prepared to pay $25 for a kayak ornament to go on our Christmas tree, so I'll make something. But it's because that's what we've been doing this year, is kayaking and experiencing the peace of God in our hearts and lives. And so as we're thinking about our favorite memories, and as we're decorating the tree, and as we pick up these Christmas bulbs or stars or whatever kind of decoration they are, I want to encourage you to think of a person as you pick up these bulbs and how you can decorate, pray for them throughout the Christmas season, and then how can you decorate their lives with your life. And so the music is going to play, and we're going to think about it, and we're just going to social distancely just kind of watch out for each other as we're doing it, and just kind of take 10, 12, there's lots there, there's at least, oh, I don't know, there's lots there. And just kind of think about someone, people in your life this Christmas, right this very moment today, that you want to allow the holiness of God to be seen in your life so that you can decorate their lives. And so as the music plays and as the video goes, then we're just going to take the time just to do that, and then we'll look a little bit more at unpacking the decorations in our lives. Be generous. You can put lots of decorations on. These all have to go on the tree, right?
Was to certain poor shepherds in fear.
Wow, that was beautiful. You know, when we start to decorate the Christmas tree, the lights are usually the last thing that we turn on, isn't it? So that we can see it in all its beauty. But the tree starts out to be bare. And until the decorations go on, it's lights. You can have lights going all year round if you wanted to in our houses. But when the decorations go on, it kind of makes it pop, doesn't it? And there's something about a peaceness and a glow and a beauty that is seen when we look at a decorated Christmas tree. How much more with our lives when we are decorated with the peace of God, when we are decorated with His love, when we are showing His hope, when we are showing His forgiveness, when we are showing the attributes of God, the characteristics of God, you know, in not gossiping and not being bitter and not backbiting and not, and all those negative things, how much more beautiful are our lives when we are representing His holiness. And so as you've placed these decorations on this tree, as we've placed these decorations on the tree, you've placed them with somebody in your hearts and minds. I want you to think about how you can decorate their lives this week. Doesn't mean that you have to be physically with them. You can write a card. You can call. But I want us to be reminded of the fact that in our lives, when we are out and about, that we are decorating our lives. When we're having a transaction, a conversation between one person and another person, when we're having that conversation, that we make sure that it decorates the other person's life, that it is positive. Even if we don't feel like it's got to be positive. You know, because sometimes we just don't feel like it. But God, I'm sorry, but you know what? I'm so glad that God doesn't feel like that at all, right? He's always representing hope. He's always representing peace. He always, always pursues us. And so He wants that to translate into our lives. And then our lives, then translate into someone else's life. And so as we do that this week, the next week, and you know what? It doesn't stop when Christmas is over, does it? We're to decorate each other's lives with the goodness of God. And so as we pray for the people that we've placed symbolically on this tree, we worship a king that is just, I can't get out of my head and my heart that he pursues us. He's chasing after us. He's in pursuit, you know, all the time. It's not like a track and field game, Olympic sport where, you know, the racers and the runners come to the finish line and they stop pursuing each other to get that gold prize. God's not like that. He pursues us totally, all the time. I don't know about you, but my legs would get really, really tired if I was doing that all the time. But he doesn't give up on us. He doesn't give up on our lives exhibiting the holiness of God. He doesn't give up on us, our lives exhibiting the tranquilness of God. He doesn't give up on us. And he doesn't give up on our families. And he doesn't give up on the people that we meet, the people that we have a transaction with from day to day. And so, how are we going to do that this week? How are we? First of all, you know what? We got to say, dear God, please forgive me. Please forgive me because, you know what? I haven't always exhibited the best example of your son, Jesus Christ. Please forgive me for that. Help me to live a better life. And he does. And then he gives us the strength that we need from day to day to be able to be the best decorated person that we can be representing Jesus Christ in our lives. And so as we continue in worship this morning and as we look at that, we just sing again, "Oh, come, let us adore him." You know, we look at the manger scene here. We look at the manger scene here. Manger can't be without the three crosses on a hill. And the three crosses can't be without the manger. And it is Christmas re-gifted to us over and over and over again. Every time we sin, Christmas is re-gifted to us. Every time we say something we shouldn't say, when we ask forgiveness, Christmas is re-gifted to us. And so as we unpack this for ourselves this week, we recognize that he is a holy God and that we want to exhibit his holiness to others. And so let's just quietly, this refrain, reach out to God as we worship him and singing, "Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord."
Let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord, for he alone is worthy.
our Father, as we spent this time in your presence, we know and we're blessed as that peace of God just kind of just comes over our hearts and minds today. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. Lord, thank you for your love. Thank you for the hope. Thank you for the reminder, Lord, that we can go and we can re-gift Christmas to someone else by the decorations that are vivid and seen within our own lives from day to day. Oh God, we would pray for those who we've thought about this morning as we've placed that decoration on the tree. Lord, we would pray that they would have an encounter with Jesus. We would pray, Lord, that they might know your love. We pray that they might know your hope. We pray that they might know that they are being pursued by you. And so, Father God, as we leave this place in a few minutes, we leave knowing that we have been in your house, that we have celebrated your presence, that we've celebrated your love, and that you have visited each heart. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me as we conclude worship this morning with the song, Tell Me the Story of Jesus, Right on My Heart, Every Word. And that's what we want to do this week, isn't it? Not just to write it on our own hearts, but to write it on the hearts of people that we come in contact with throughout the week. This place, we leave with the benediction from Psalm 121. And it says, the Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. May God bless you today. Have a great week as you, and be blessed as you decorate someone's life this week.